All right, Genesis 29. We would always do well to remember that the blessed truth of the Holy Scriptures is concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the redemption and salvation of His bride. In the New Testament, we behold the glorious fulfillment of our Savior who came into this world, paid the debt owed to the law for the guilt incurred by their fall in Adam, and lived for them before God according to the law, and earned the righteousness that is imputed to every one that believeth, which is every one that God has chosen who shall be called out in time. So everything that we behold in the accomplishment was foretold in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms. Everything is set forth in the Old Testament concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's consider our passage tonight, not as history. I told you before, we can look at this thing and see a historical account of what is set forth in the lives of these men and women that we're considering. But let's look rather asking the Lord for understanding. Open our eyes to behold the declaration and the promise of our redemption in this beautiful picture and type set forth concerning Jacob and Rachel. Now Jacob is here. He's in Haran. He's at Laban's house. Laban is Rebecca. This is Jacob's mama. Laban is her brother. And so here, he's there by God's good pleasure. He's an object of God's love and mercy. Jacob here is a picture, type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, in whom the Father's well pleased. And he's here searching out a bride. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever knew his bride, the scripture says he came to seek and to save that which was lost in Adam's transgression. He came to find out his people. He always knows where they are. But providentially, we behold, as we see it now, we see how God is pleased to call his people out. Well, Jacob has crossed paths with Rachel. Rachel has been one that brought some sheep there. There was a stone over a well, a great stone, and Jacob removed that stone. We looked at that last time, a picture of Jacob being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, removing all the obstacles that the people of God might freely drink from himself, who is the fountain of life. Well, tonight, we're going to pick up right here where we left off, and Rebecca has spoken with Jacob there at the well. He's told her who he is, and she runs back and tells her family that, that Jacob is here, and now he's here. And the scripture says, and starting up, I'm gonna pick up and read something that we ended with last time. And Laban said to him, verse 14, "Surely thou art my bone, my flesh, your family." That's what he's saying. Your family. Your family. But now here, let's just stop right there and remember. Now we're talking about the events of God's family. This is concerning the family of God, the people of God. So here he is. He said, "Your bone, my bone, flesh, my flesh." He abode with him the space of a month. Now, again, the Spirit of God doesn't put words in here just for our information. There's a reason. He told us something. He told us that Jacob had abode with him, that is Laban, the space of a month. It means a month of days, and without doubt, now we know what's getting ready to happen. We know the story. We know that what's going to happen concerning what, but let's take it verse by verse and just consider these things as the Spirit of God sets them forth. Here's Laban has had a month. That's what it says. A month of days is in the margin there. And he's had some precious time to observe. Now this is what crossed my mind. He's living with Laban. He's in Laban's house and he's had a month to watch him and observe him. Observe him, his daily walk. You know, you might can slip something past somebody if you're there just for an hour or so. You know, they maybe can fake it. But you know, after about a month, you know, you're gonna start to pick up a few things. You're gonna see. You're gonna learn a little bit about something. This is what's going on here. He observes him. He's had a month. But even here, what crossed my mind, now this is Jacob, and Jacob is interested in Rachel. Rachel is Laban's daughter. And so there's a bride to be involved in this. There's a son-in-law to be. There's a bridegroom to be in this thing. And Laban, as the father, you know, I see this thing starting to look, and looking at it with spiritual eyes, there's a beholding of Laban, the bride-to-be's father. And he's watching the bridegroom-to-be. And so here I behold this observation, and I cannot help but think about with Jacob being in communion, interaction, day in, day out, all day, all night, there. He's seeing, he's watching. And I can't help, turn with me to Proverbs 8. This is where I'm going. And I can't help but consider the beauty. Now, this is so wonderfully mysterious to me. But here's Laban observing the bridegroom-to-be. And now over in Proverbs 8, we're going to look at the observation that is spoken of by the Spirit of God. The observation that was taking place by the Father concerning the Son, who was the bridegroom, the eternal bridegroom of the bride of His church. And as I thought about Laban having a month to watch Jacob, listen to what the Spirit of God says concerning this. And these things are wonderful. Look, with Laban and Jacob, okay, if we're just looking at history, that's just history. That's just two men, two humans. But this is God. These are the words of the Spirit of God concerning God with God. Proverbs 8, verse 27 through 31. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and setting forth the glory of the Father observing Him. I was daily His delight. Here is the one, the servant of Jehovah, chosen by the Father in covenant grace. And considering the Son, this is God, and I'm thinking, this is God. But the Spirit of God writes these beautiful scriptures and sets forth this word in such a way that he was talking about how the Father was with him. I was with the Father. He saw me. Before the foundations were ever laid, I was there. When he made the cloud, I was there. And I was daily his delight. Always before him. And this, my friend, when I consider, I'll just turn over to Ephesians. Having considered him, seen him eternally, watched him. And again, I realize, I'm so far over my head right here. But here in Ephesians chapter 1 is talking about the Father who had, according to Proverbs 8, been with the Son. Before anything else was, I was there. When he laid the foundations, I was there. When he made the heavens, I was there. When the fountains were made, I was there. Always before him. In Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. The Father trusted him. He trusted him. I think, Lord, help us here. Help us to behold the glory of what's being set forth. The Scripture says that he abode with him the space of a month. Then he says in verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Now, here's a marvelous question that is set forth to Jacob from Laban. Obviously, Jacob had not said anything. Been there a month. And from the wording of Laban, Rachel's father, they hadn't even talked about money, wages, pay. He asked him, he said, because thou art my brother, have his nephew, because you're my family, your bone, my bone, flesh, my flesh. Because you're my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for nothing? You can't stay here and work for nothing. You know, what's it going to cost? What's going to be the payment? What am I going to owe you? Well, verses 16 and 17, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful, well-favored. Now, here's a beautiful picture set forth concerning the redemption of God's sheep. And as this scripture opens up in these later, in following weeks that come on, because there's going to be a lot happening. Again, I know you know the story. But again, we're going to take it verse by verse and just consider as it unfolds and pray that the Lord will give us some sweet honey out of this precious passage. He said, what will be the cost? Well, he had two daughters. The older daughter, her name was Leah. Her name means weary. The younger was Rachel, which means a ewe, a ewe lamb. And Leah, the older of the two, was tender-eyed. She was weak. It was soft in outward appearance. And Rachel was beautiful, well-favored. She was bright, eyes comely, and pleasant in countenance. And is this not the way the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon his bride? This woman, Rachel. Turn with me to Song of Solomon 2. This woman, Rachel, she was She was beautiful. She was a beautiful woman. She was the youngest of the two. Song of Solomon 2, verse 9 and 10. Here's how the Lord describes His bride. Here she's talking now. The bride is speaking of the Lord. Verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. You that are beautiful to me, come away. He told her in Song of Solomon 4:9, thou hast ravished my heart. I've quoted that passage so many times, it just amazes me. Just this precious love revelation. You have stolen my heart. You have unhearted me, is what he said. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. One look from you in faith. And you've stolen my heart, daughter. Well, the scripture says that Laban asked him, what's the wages? How much is it going to cost? What's the price? Well, verse 18 says this. And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, here we behold the love that Jacob had for Rachel. But again, though it's a beautiful picture, a beautiful story, a history story, look at the beautiful picture. It's being set. Remember, these scriptures are concerning Christ. You see that right there. And Jacob loved Rachel. You know what that says? Spiritually speaking. And Christ loved his bride. He loved her. He loved her. And this is what he said to Rachel's daddy. Picture now the father. What's going to be your wages? What's it going to cost? Here's what he said. I will serve thee. I will serve thee. What's it going to cost to have her? I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, do we not behold a beautiful reminder here of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his bride? Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With Jacob, love began in time. No doubt about it. It has to, because we're in time. But with the Lord, he who changeth not, love never began with him. Love for the bride never began. It always has been. Again, I don't know how to speak eternal. Everything comes out of my mouth, and I say the word eternal, but it comes out saying like time. It doesn't begin. It never began. If you ever got to a point, in my mind right now, I'm just thinking in my mind, Neil, it's kind of going, I'm going back. You know, I'm going left. But I'm just thinking that way. But as far as I can think back, that wasn't the beginning. I can't even go back that far. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jacob loved Rachel. What's it going to cost? I will serve thee 7 years. Can we possibly miss this part of the servant of Jehovah? According to God's everlasting covenant, that I will serve you. I will. My meat is to do your will, the will of him that sent me. This is the will of the Father, And of all which the Father has given me, I should lose none. What's it going to cost? I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. She was his desire. He was going to serve 7 years. Now that number seven, I wanted to look it up. I wanted to look it up and see what does the number seven mean. Blue Letter Bible gives the definition to be from a root word that means to swear, to assure, take an oath. Okay, so it had that number seven has to do with a promise, an oath. I will, that's what he said, I will serve these 7 years. So it has to do with a giving of your word. Strong's adds the root word to also mean the sacred full one. So here's what seven means. All that's required. I'll give everything. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel. What did the Lord Jesus Christ give for his bride? He gave himself. What more can a man give than himself? You say, well, he could give this, he could do this, he could do this. If he gives himself, you have all of it, everything. I will give the full. I swear, give you my word, I take an oath. So here we are, Jacob's oath. What will you give? What do you want? I want her. I want her. What are you going to give? I'll give you the full requirement. I'll give everything that's due. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friends if you do that which I command you. If you follow me, it's because I gave you a heart to follow me. So here's Jacob. He's going to do the service for the full time justly demanded to earn Rachel's hand. To earn it. So this thing's not going to be done. It's not going to be, not going to lope. They're not going to, whatever is demanded, I'm going to give you everything. Now here we behold the truth of the bride of Christ being the reward of the Lord Jesus Christ, the obedient servant of Jehovah, paying the full due, redeeming his precious bride. So Jacob agreed with Laban. And it was a set amount of time, but it was a set amount of time that meant the full payment. That would have been the right to her hand. And his reward of Rachel was according to Jacob's promise, his covenant, I give you my word. The scripture says that he has set his word above all of himself, everything. Above all of his name, his word. You got my word on it. His word's not going to return void. It's going to perform that which was the purpose for which it was sent. What do you got? I give you my word. And I think about how honorable that is. Used to, that was it. And it still is among people that are honorable. I tell you, I will do something. Be sure, and when you do that, please put in there, if the Lord wills. Don't foolishly provide. You can depend on me. What if I get sick? What if I break a leg? What if I get killed? If the Lord wills, I'll do the best I can. To the best of my ability, I'll do it. But if there's an honor. Somebody tells you something, you can't depend on them. You don't believe nothing. What do you got? You don't have anything. But if I got your word. Got your word. So here he is. It's an agreement. It's a covenant. A covenant between Laban and Jacob. This is what I'll do. I want her. and I'll do what's demanded. Oh, but just think of the covenant agreement between the persons of the Godhead, the Father, in covenant agreement. I will choose. I will choose my people, and I'll give them to the Son. And the Son, in covenant agreement, I will be their surety. I will answer for them. I will do that which is demanded. I'll make the full payment. I'll live for them and I'll die for them. I'll answer the law. I'll answer to the law. And He finished it. He finished it. Father trusted Him and He did it. And so here, seeing our precious Savior who paid our due, shed His blood at Calvary, and earned the righteousness demanded by the law for justification and acceptance of God. This was David. This was all David's hope right here. We've read this. 2 Samuel. You want to turn there? 2 Samuel 23:5. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. What a precious foundation of hope. Although my house be not so with God. And I've read a lot of things there. Was he talking about his own family? Absalom was his son, and you know all that. He had a son that didn't love his daddy. And David loved Absalom. He loved him. And it was his son. But his house was a mess. And it was just all kinds of things. Was he talking about this house right here? Although my house be not so with God. I would rather believe it was talking about his own personal household. But that's okay. That's just me. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me. There may be some within my household that don't know God. And I pray God have mercy on them. I pray God, told you this so many times. I've got some kids. I've got 4 kids. And I've got grandchildren. And I pray God have mercy on my kids. I pray God save them. And my grandchildren. Had some of them here the other day. Love them. That's my family. Although my house be not so with God, yet He's made with me. He's made an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation. And this is all my desire. God has made a covenant with me. And He's given me His Word. He's given me His Word. The Spirit of God has borne witness to my heart, given me faith to believe Him. I believe He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I believe that. Lord, I need You. Lord, have mercy on me. So here's Jacob. He loved her. I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And now we behold this precious agreement as it begins to unfold in verse 19. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. You know, it's better, it's good. It's good that I give her to thee and that I should give her to another man. While Laban beheld the good in Rachel being the wife of Jacob, it's good. It's good. I could not help. My heart kept going back to the scripture in Genesis 2:18. It's good that I give her to you. In Genesis 2:18, I went back and I kept reading that, and I thought, you know, this is what the Lord actually was saying. But this is the way the Spirit of God says. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Laban said to him, it's good that I give her to you. It's good. It's good. The Spirit of God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So there was good. This was a good. This was going to be a good union, a perfect union, in picture and type of the, a union that was a picture and type of the perfect union. Let me say it like that. Between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. And Jacob would be blessed having Rachel as the one of his affection. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and magnified as the Redeemer and Savior of His people. Look at the good. I mean, it was good that Jacob and Rachel, according to Laban's words, be one, be married. But all the good that we behold in the Lord Jesus Christ in redeeming His precious bride who had fallen in Adam's transgression. Look at the honor that was given to Him. He prayed in the high priestly prayer. Think about John 17. I'll wrap this up. John 17, as the Lord was praying, these words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Render glory unto Me as Your Redeemer, as Your Lamb. Render glory unto Me. What he was going to the cross soon. He was going to the cross. And He knew He was going to the cross. Render unto Me the glory that You have bestowed upon Me and chosen Me to be Your servant. Glorify Me that I may glorify You as the electing God and the merciful God, the God of all grace, to save a people from their sins by My shed blood. It's good. It's good. It's good. That's what he said. It's good. Laban said, verse 19, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with Me. And then, last verse for this evening. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. You know, Jacob was sent of his mother and father to this very place to search out a bride from among the brethren, their family. And having providentially found her, he served 7 years. That's what it says. Jacob served 7 years. And it seemed but a few days for the love that he had to her. Now, I think about this in closing, and I want to leave us with this thought. Again, I wish I had the capability of saying what's in my heart. I don't even know how to form the words. But he served 7 years, and it did mean the fullness. It meant the full, complete. But I think about having read Proverbs 8 before anything was ever here, when there was God, covenant God, Father, Son, Spirit, before the Son was made flesh, before Christ took upon Himself the form of sinful flesh. Before He took upon Himself flesh, He was. He is. He is. He is. He had not taken flesh yet, but He's still the servant in covenant agreement. And here we see Jacob served 7 years, and it just seemed like to him a few days. And I think about eternally how the Lord, having been with the Father, He was daily His delight, and how eternity has unveiled so much, and the love that the Lord has for His people. The wording there just seemed like to Jacob, it was just a few days. It just, the service, the time that he was putting in, that wasn't the issue. That was the time that Jacob put in, that wasn't the issue. What was the issue? He loved her. Rachel was his bride-to-be. And those days, years, seemed unto him but a few days for or because of the love he had for her. When I think of that which the Lord has borne eternally, his bride was given to him. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were always his. We've always been in him. He's always had us. He's loved us with an everlasting love, betrothed us unto himself. Everlasting. Everything that has been unfolding before our eyes is the opening of God's providence. That which has always been purposed. And to Jacob, we can speak in time. We speak in words, but time in the days where it seemed like, in the years seemed like days to him because of his love. But consider the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has had. And the final consummation of all this will stand before God Almighty. The books will be opened. And the book. And the Lord who divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right hand, goats on his left. And he says to those on his right hand, enter in. Enter in to that which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I think to myself, Lord, help us to just get a glimpse of something of your love. And forgive us where we think so lightly of you. For Christ's sake.